What's on tap today is brought to you by Chris's favorite, Fatheads Brewery. Headhunter now available in cans. I could go for a couple of those tonight. Probably will. That's all it takes, just a couple.
There's a little strange magic in the Malzy fridge downstairs.
How do
they're
we know
open.
Chris isn't drinking during the show?
I mean, I had a thought of doing that. I had some mini M&Ms just now. I'm drinking water during the show.
Are you sitting on one of those weird bird-like bean chairs that are in that room that you tweeted out?
No, those are like stuffed animals. I would have to pile those things way high to get them to where I would need them to be. I'm in a very standard office chair, although I will say this. I think I have a better setup here computer-wise than I do at the office.
Well, I had to move in the studio because the mouse broke. That one.
I have a wireless mouse and a wireless keyboard. Oh, right, do you feel powerful?
No, I feel like Cook probably spread germs on this thing, and I need to wipe it down.
He wasn't in there today.
True. We're all. Have you noticed that, like, in a weird twist of fate, we're all turning into Starkey?
Yeah, it's really
kind
of.
Has that occurred to you?
No, it absolutely
has. Maybe he was
has.
A trailblazer.
I've been wiping everyone. Yeah, I was going to say genius. What's the phrase? Genius is not recognized in its own time. I don't even think he's enjoying it. I don't think he's enjoying it, Pony.
Yeah, he's
like,
not.
You would
he's
think
not,
he'd be
he's
sitting
not
back
or bragging about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, arms crossed over his chest. Like, I told you, those Lysol wipes. I was a visionary, and nobody gave me credit. No, he's just turned it up to like a 20 on a 1 to 10 scale.
Brian Badko works with Joe Starkey at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's going into his second year as one of the Steelers' beat men for them. Brian,
they expecting a big leap from you, Brian,
yeah,
in year two?
Or are we looking at more of a sophomore slump, Brian? How would you go back and look at your rookie year?
I think Mike Tomlin would say, you know, we're always expecting more of that second year around the track, if that's one of the Tomlinisms for him. But, no, first year was good. Learning from the wise Jerry Dulac and Ray Fittipaldo, and obviously with big shoes to fill coming into the beat on the Post-Gazette. So,
do you feel like
I added some value?
Do you feel like you impressed Starkey or Cook more?
You know, I think Joe has always liked me somewhat, even going back to when I covered Pitt. So I'm going to go with Ron on this one.
Ron?
Does Ron know your name?
Wow!
Yes, of course Ron knows my name.
So you think?
I'm saying it's not a given.
Well, hold on. The breaking news story is that you think that you've endeared yourself more to Cook than Starkey.
Yeah, there was a couple times during the year where Cook called me up to find something that I wrote and asked me where it, you know, like what story was that in, who was that about, and I think I've been quick to the trigger to go ahead and lend him some assistance.
So he doesn't hold it against you that you brought up like that whole like high school football story where Ron caught a touchdown pass that didn't in any way negatively affect the relationship? Maybe it added to it, in fact.
Not to my knowledge. And hey, I can't be held responsible for Joe taking that to its logical conclusion by going to track down the quarterback who threw it and certainly turning up the volume on that story to 11.
I'm just impressed that Cook caught a touchdown like that. It's still sort of hard to imagine.
And there was
like,
a lot of yak. There was a lot of yak, Chris.
Did he go and well, is Cook a big celebrations guy? I forget. Did he go and like try to celebrate? I wonder. Did he showboat a little bit? Did he enjoy it? If he was running free and clear, those are the kind of things
did
I want.
Did he have a free light afterwards?
Is he on the Mount Rushmore of Blackhawk football?
Wait, wasn't it Beaver Falls?
No,
no he was
at
Blackhawk.
Yeah, he was at Blackhawk, Chris.
Oh man, he's not supposed to like a guy like Joe Namath. Then those are rival high schools.
Beaver County.
I know. Well, there's not that many high schools. I think they're all rivals.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's a report here, Brian. This comes from a football agent that the Steelers have signed an XFL player. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it looks like it. That agent has put that out there that they're kicking the tires on this Kevon Walker from the XFL. I'll be honest, I'd never heard of him, but I just Googled him. He doesn't have a Wikipedia page. That's never a good start. I'll say this much, though. I mean, last year with the AAF, they signed a couple of those guys, and Cam Kelly came from there. He led them in interceptions. He led the AAF in interceptions. And Jay Elliott, remember him? He led the AAF in sacks. So the Steelers have at least sometimes looked at these second-tier leagues to fill the roster in the offseason.
Well, haven't the Steelers still had the most success in history with a guy from a second-tier league like that with Tommy Maddox from the original XFL?
Yeah, Tommy Gunn. That's a legendary story right there. Hmm.
Brian, what do you think of this team as they stand after having made a bunch of free agent moves and then a trade, obviously, for Wormley? So you've got Watt, you've got Ebron, who already hates Filippone, even though Andrew liked the signing of Eric Ebron, and you've got Wormley. What is this team right now in your mind before the draft?
Wait, what happened with Ebron and Filippone?
You didn't hear about this, Brian?
No, what happened, man. Andrew?
I talked to somebody who basically told me, actually had an illustrious scouting career and is recently retired from scouting in the NFL, who said that Ebron was basically the anti-Heath Miller. Doesn't block, you know, very vocal when he doesn't get the ball, needs the ball to be happy. And so if you were creating a tight end in the lab and the lab technician was told create somebody who was the exact opposite of Heath Miller, they would come up with Eric Ebron.
And, yeah, I saw your tweet. What happened after that?
And then Ebron retweeted it and put some kind of smart aleck comment on it. So
I don't follow him yet. I guess I'm going to have to follow him now. That's pretty.
He might already be blocked.
Okay, I'll check it. I'll check into that. But no, I mean, I thought the Ebron signing, obviously that's the one that kind of moved the meter the most. The Watt thing was cool to reunite Derek Watt with the guy that he grew up in the same house as, but in terms of the impact that's going to have on this team next year, I don't think it's going to measure up to what Ebron might be able to do in this offense. Of course, there's a few asterisks there. When healthy, when catching the ball, and when being able to get on the field, because it seems like he did fall out of favor a little bit in Indy and eventually went on IR. So that one, I could see it going either way. But to me, it signals that they're still in win-now mode and are trying to give Ben Roethlisberger all the weapons that he can possibly use on offense, because I don't know when the last time was that he had a guy quite like Ebron.
Brian Batko, Steelers writer from the Post-Gazette. Brian, how old are you?
28.
Okay. Here's what I don't get about that fact there. You're not an old fart. You're supposed to be a young, cool guy, a hip guy, an outside-the-box thinker, somebody that's progressive-minded, doesn't always just go with the old crotchety Steelers media take. So why do you hate the Jameis Winston idea so much, Brian? You're supposed to be one of the guys that should be on our side with me, Mueller, Craig. You're one of us. So why do you hate this move?
Because, number one, I don't think Winston would even necessarily be a good fit for what this offense needs to do to be successful. You could actually
argue then Ben Roethlisberger's not a good fit because they play the same way.
You could even argue that Ben right now in his current state, at least the last time we saw him play a full season, isn't exactly what this team needs right now. But who knows? Maybe he will switch up the way he plays a little bit. And Jameis Winston, Andrew, I mean, do you really want that kind of distraction right now for this team? They just got away.
Well, what do I want? I want Mason Rudolph as the backup. He stinks. Other than beating Pitt, you covered those games. What has he done?
Yeah, he's actually going to be, you know, maybe no fault of his own, but his own kind of distraction if he ever has to play quarterback again for this team. But no, sorry, I can't get with you on the Jameis Winston idea, nor the Cam Newton or Jalen Hurts idea at this point. I think you need to.
So you want status quo? You want status quo quarterback depth chart?
Yeah, I still think that is going to give them the best chance right now because of what you need to do elsewhere on your roster. I don't know how they're going to afford Jameis Winston either.
Well, if they freed up $4 million, if they freed up more than almost $4 million for a fullback, I'd like to think they could free up some money for a legitimate backup quarterback. But that's just
I won't go with the flow on the price with Derek Watt. I will agree with you there. That seemed high. I don't know why you'd pay a fullback / special teams guy anything more than really the veteran minimum at this point. But at least it'll give us another cool storyline for 2020, which matters the most to me.
I mean, the thing that I would say about Winston and finances, Brian, is you have Ryan Tannehill, who had very comparable career numbers and rough relative career success, actually a little bit more career success in wins and losses than Winston, and he goes for a $2 million deal to Tennessee, and we know how that went down. Why can't Winston, if the market is cratering for him, be had at cheap?
I mean, sure, the longer this thing goes on, the less leverage he's going to have, but I don't necessarily think that he's at the same point in his career right now as Tannehill was when he took that deal from the Titans. He was at least productive last year. Of course, he threw a ton of picks as well, but I got to think someone out there is going to be able to willing and able to give him probably what the Steelers wouldn't be able to, even if they wanted to bring him in, which I still think is probably the furthest thing from their mind.
Do you think Mason Rudolph is better than Jameis Winston?
No, of course not. Okay. But I also don't necessarily think that the Steelers are ready to give up on him as the backup.
And you think if they brought Jameis in, they would be punting on Mason Rudolph?
I think if they brought Jameis in, yeah, one, they would be showing Mason Rudolph that the door is right there for you and you're not going to be here much longer. And two, Ben Roethlisberger's bristled at just drafting rookies in the middle round, let alone in going out signing someone who would clearly be his successor. At least that would be the plan if you went out and signed Jameis Winston. And I couldn't imagine those two coexisting on the roster at a time right now where you probably want to be telling the whole locker room that every move we're making is to try to make us better right now to win a Super Bowl in 2020.
See, I disagree with that last part about those two not being able to coexist. I think it's totally different, Brian, when you draft a guy and say we had a first-round grade on him. He's clearly our guy of the future. I would hope Ben would have like the presence of mind to think, all right, if I get hurt for 4 weeks this year and Jameis Winston's the backup, he could go 2-2 or 3-1 or even 4-0 instead of maybe 1-3 or 0-4 and actually help the team win, and then I come back and maybe I have a chance to play in the playoffs when I otherwise wouldn't have, a la Teddy Bridgewater relieving an injured Drew Brees and going 5-0 as a starter. I would hope Ben would have that kind of perspective.
I don't know that any athlete has that kind of perspective of thinking, okay, this is what I want to be the plan if I get hurt. I just don't know that guys who are playing in the NFL, even a grizzled veteran like himself who's been through this, thinks that way and thinks along those lines. Plus, I'll throw this out there. While I already admitted that I don't think Mason Rudolph is better than Jameis Winston, I'm not ready to rule out that he couldn't go 2-2, maybe 3-1 if Ben has to miss.
Brian, let me ask
you
this question about Mason Rudolph and how much the Steelers supposedly love him and support him. If they thought he was so good, why didn't they play him? Why didn't they start him against the Jets in Week 16? Season on the line, backs against the wall, he's healthy. Hodges crapped his pants on national TV, and they went back to duck over Rudolph. If they like Mason so much, explain that one for me.
I didn't say they like Mason so much. I just think they like him enough to not want to sign.
They didn't like him enough to play him over Duck with the season on the line.
One thing that we know about the Steelers, they're never really quick to make jumpy decisions like that. I covered Pat Narduzzi and I covered Mike Tomlin. One of those guys changes quarterbacks like he changes his underwear, and it's not Tomlin.
But is it,
I mean,
jumpy?
Took him a while to even get Duck in there.
Is it jumpy to go back to a guy you had a first-round grade on over an undrafted rookie quarterback?
No, and they eventually did in that game. So
if they start him against the Jets, they probably win, don't you think?
I don't know that. I mean, I think Rudolph came in and played fairly well and inspired a little bit of confidence for him going forward. The last time we've seen him, nobody really wanted him, I don't think, back in for that Jets game at that point.
All right, Mulsey.
Guys, I got big news. I know, I got big news anyway. In the middle of that segment, maybe I got a little too excitable.
Because the baby woke up?
I was watching my little monitor, and maybe little baby Lennox got mad at Brian Batko's anti-Winston take, and he sat up out of a dead sleep, and he's raring to go now.
Oh,
so the gloves are off for me.
Well, thanks
voice-wise.
For that, Brian. Appreciate that. Now
yeah,
the show's
no problem,
over.
Guys.
All right, good
hey,
talk.
Maybe Lennox needs to meet my little guy, and they can talk about the Steelers quarterback situation themselves, Chris.
Yeah, how's he doing? Probably be a little bit tougher for you to do a show from home. You have a very new crying infant in that house.
Congratulations, Brian.
Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, but no, my wife's still on maternity leave, so they don't need me for anything.
Brian Batko.
Well, that's probably the case normally anyway.
You can check out all his anti-Jameis Winston coverage in the Post-Gazette. See you, Brian.
See you, guys.